Now, welcome to another inspiring edition of Sound Insight with Dr. Tom Curran.
Hey, welcome to the program, Kerry. It is great to have you on.
Hey, Tom.
It's a new year. It's a new you. It's a fresh start. And the kids are gone.
Yes. Yes, we finally can breathe. We finally have our freedom. When our kids come home, the moms all go back to work as far as in the house, the cooking, the planning, the organizing. And so now I feel like I'm on a break now that they've all gone back to school. And
let's put you to work. Yeah. Come on, let's go.
I have to come back and help you at the radio.
Yes, fine. Yes. Good. Finally, a partner. Two shall become one, yes. Right? And this is it's a great gift, folks. You are listening to Kerry for the first time on Salt and Light Radio with me. And since I've been on since December, I'm really thrilled with that. And folks on Sacred Heart Radio to be able to say, hey, Kerry's back. This is good. And if they had a chance to speak to the folks from Salt and Light, they'll say, you'll like Kerry. She keeps Tom in line. I don't think that's the call, but there aren't many people. When I'm talking by myself, no one gets to put into question what I'm saying. So I just get to say it with confidence.
Yeah. Is that what I do? I question everything you say or challenge or...
I don't know. You put it this way. All I can say is this. People say that you keep me humble.
Oh. Yeah,
that's a real... You're kind of like my guardian angel, right? That's a... No, it's a tradition. It's a spiritual tradition in the church to pray and give permission to your guardian angel to humble you once a day. So you're actually like a whole handful of angels.
There you go.
Because I'm getting humbled more than once a day. All right, but we're not today talking about that. We're going to talk about reflecting on 2025. In order to live well 2026, to have a vision of what we want to accomplish, it's great to look back and say, what had happened to us in 2025? And there was a really neat reason why that became apparent to us, and it had to do with some Christmas lights, and we'll get into that in a minute.
Hi, this is Dr. Tom Curran, and you know me as the host of Sound Insight. I am also letting folks know that as a realtor licensed in the state of Washington and in Idaho, I love serving Catholic families and others who are discerning a move for yourselves. It's much more than buying or selling a home. It's discerning a whole new life. If that's something that you would find a help in, if I could be of service to you, please be in touch. You can find out more at drtomcurran.com. drtomcurran.com.
In the name of the Father, and the Son, and the Holy Spirit. Amen. Heavenly Father, good and gracious God, I thank you for the gift of family, for the gift of marriage. And I ask a blessing upon all marriages and families, Lord, as we launch into 2026. I pray that it would be a great blessing, that we would be open to receive what you're ready and willing and able to do in our lives. Lord, break open the limitations of how we see you and what you intend to do in our lives. And Lord, give us the grace to reflect well with great gratitude, and also, Lord, with a resolution to do better, to even bear more fruit for you and your kingdom this year. We make this prayer, Jesus, in your holy name. Amen.
Amen.
From the Father, and the Son, and the Holy Spirit. Amen. Kerry, Christmas lights. One of the things you did when all of our kiddos were at home, it's like, we got to find something to have these kids do. And somehow you came up with Christmas lights and Caldwell.
Did you see the bucket list on the refrigerator?
Oh, that's right.
Come on, Tom.
That's right. Well, what is... Do you know what? I never realized this. I just heard on some kind of talk that... Do you know what the bucket list is referring to?
No.
I just thought a bucket list is, there are these things that you want to do, and you put them into a bucket, right? And so it's kind of like, let's pull one out and say, this is the next thing on my bucket list. No, it has to do with the reference to dying as kicking the bucket.
Oh.
And so the bucket list is,
these are the things I
want to do before I die. I want to, before I kick the bucket. Now, I'm like, when I heard it, I'm like, that is so obvious. But how come I never put two and two together?
That's interesting, because I think our bucket list has become our holiday list or a seasonal list or a yearly list. It's no longer in light of, I want to do this before I die, but I want to do this in this summer or in this 2026.
I like it, though, from the standpoint of faith, that death does put an end to life on earth. So this is me pulling us to heaven already. I want to live my life well in the light of the fact that one day I'll face the Lord. And that happens when I kick the bucket. So for me, the bucket list is about, am I going to live well the time that I have that remains?
You know, it's hard to determine when that will be. But what I like to do is just look out a year When I can see, where do I want to be in 2027 when I look back at 2026? What is that called when you project?
Yeah, it's called scenario planning. So instead of strategic planning is you're in the present and you cast a vision for the future. Scenario planning is you say, this is what happened at the end of the year, like whatever the time frame is. And now you say, if that actually happened at the end of the year, what has to happen now? So it's moving from the future state that becomes identified with the present as a casting a light back on the present state.
I find that more inspiring. When we were coming back from one of our items was to go look at Christmas lights, and we were coming back from Caldwell, small town outside of where we live, and our son started to ask questions in this
19-year-old son
packed car of 10. And do you know why he was doing that?
No.
Well, Mary Grace told me yesterday on the phone, he was trying to, good son that he is, avoid praying a rosary.
What? Are you kidding me?
We need to pray for him. Yeah, that's what she said. But he might have just said that jokingly to her when they all got back to the house. He just came up with random questions that we answered spontaneously in the car, really kind of quick, rapid fire. So what was your best hit this year, meaning something you're proud of? Or where did you really carry somebody? Or when did you show up and unexpectedly something went really well? Or what was your most embarrassing? Did you cry this past year? What was your saddest moment? So just those kind of reflections on the past year of in moments that really struck you. It wasn't part of the day-to-day, but more of those.
It makes you dig in. It makes you dig in and think a little bit more deeply about the life I've been living, right? And I think that's a powerful thing to do, right? That's how we gain self-knowledge. We come to know who we are. We know what we're actually about by stopping and thinking about how we're living. And being reflective like that, it's the opposite of doom scrolling, where you're just wasting time just scrolling through other people's present, or just, you know, getting stimulated in the addictive moment of looking at a phone and missing an opportunity to go deeper within.
Yeah, I think that the questions were very poignant in that it wanted me to answer some of the questions in a fuller answer. Like, I didn't think my answers were that pivotal or meaningful. And so I was thinking for 2027, when I look back, I want to have really great answers. And there was that kind of inspiring sense that if I could plan, like you said, scenario plan, if I can plan now, looking back a year from now, it would be pretty cool.
Okay, let's do something really cool then. How are we going to do this? Do you have questions? I know you have questions. I'm going to say, do you have questions? I know you have questions that we're going to take on today. And I like it that these questions are things that we're going to be asking ourselves or each other, but it's also things that folks that you're listening, use those to reflect and maybe come up with your own questions that you'd find valuable.
Yes. We've done this for a few years now, where you just reflect on how did Christmas go? I do this after a big event, try to take in, what did I learn from this? What would I do different? What went well? How could it function in a way that brings more joy or makes me more excited about doing it? Just reflecting on an event, or we're going to reflect on the last year.
Nice. Okay. We're going to get started.
Great. First question, 3 highlights from 2025.
All right. So for me, I would say the first highlight was, making the transition from Spokane to Boise, that's huge.
Yes. I think that took all of our 2025.
Yeah. But if I had to kind of piece it down, it would be there was a very heavy lift that I had to do in my professional life, and that was around real estate, how we have for 23 years owned rental properties. And to say that we're going to move out of that stage of our lives meant preparing and selling these homes. And that was a heavy lift. And so I would say that was one of the highlights, was accomplishing that.
Yeah, I would agree. I think our remodel that we did on the house that we were in. We had a flood. It was kind of a minor flood, really, which turned into a huge remodel, our whole upstairs and the kitchen and living room area. And that was a highlight in that even though it was a ton of work, it produced a lot of benefit.
Yes. Yes to both. I'm thinking of the work it was and how long it took.
We had to move downstairs.
And it was, did we move downstairs?
Yes. We lived in the basement.
Oh, that's right. We had to kind of set up a whole little like kitchen dining room area.
For 4 months,
oh,
I think.
Oh, wow. That's crazy. Yeah. Maybe I'm so traumatized that I kind of blocked it out.
I feel like I blocked out a lot of the first 6 months of last year.
Okay. Second one is doing that 21-day water fast. I think back on it now as a highlight for me because I had stalled on my attempts to eat right and exercise. I thought that, you know, the things I was doing, that these things would bear fruit, and they weren't bearing the fruit that I wanted. So that became a beautiful example of I can do something with a fundamentally spiritual purpose that will also have physical human benefits. And so it was a wonderful springboard into living life in a healthier way.
I agree. I think that was awesome. I don't really have a lot of highlights. I think getting rid of everything and moving here, that pretty much sums it up. I was proud of the girls when they won state, but that's not really something I did. Mm-hmm. I just got to go along for the ride. But if I actually look at what did I do in the last year, that was a highlight.
Yeah, what did you do?
I know.
I'm going to keep going. I'm just going to keep on just kind of plowing forward here.
This is why I need to forward scenario plan.
Scenario plan, right.
So this year, I'm going to have great highlights.
In 2027, I'm grateful. 2026, I'm grateful that I did this. So say it out loud, like you mean it, like it's real, and then it'll become real. I would say that this idea of reorienting my life to have ministry be a bigger part of it and letting that take the shape in daily mass, prayer, and a vision for writing books. Did you see that word I put in there? Mm-hmm. A vision for writing books. Do you know why I said that? Because I'm not actually writing the books yet.
You think you can sneak that in?
Oh, I thought I was going to slip that one past you. It did not work. So
I've enjoyed listening to your highlights and living as part of your highlights. Even though I'm not doing all the work and effort, I get to kind of be next to you and benefit from it. I think that's been my highlight, to watch you have highlights.
I guess that's a thing. Yeah. I mean, well, why not? I guess that could be a thing. So, well, I'm glad. Okay. What's another question?
What did I change my mind about this year? Is there something that you grew in knowledge or awareness of this year?
Yes. Now, this is transition because this is both it's something that was growing in me in 2025, at the end of 2025, as I've been doing more prayer and reflection, and then it has launched into 2026. So I don't know if I'm anticipating something here, but I became more acutely aware that my predominant sin was pride under the form of mistrust. Now, there are other facets to this diamond of pride, like arrogance and condescension and being clinging to my own thinking, that sort of thing. Mm-hmm. But I would say that feeling a call that the Lord wants to have me address this predominant sin and to heal me, to bring about healing of the negative effects of this sin of pride in my life is something that I'm grateful that the Lord is making known to me, but also am excited to see the Lord unfold it in this year. So
your answer is way more supernatural than mine.
Oh, okay.
Spiritual.
I forgot the question. What was the question?
What did I change my mind about?
Oh, got it.
And this is kind of this has been unfolding over the last few years, but after selling our properties, I absolutely want a small house and a small yard. I think 20 years ago when we were growing our family and we were in the midst of energy and excitement and visioning for our future, I was wanting a large house and a big backyard where all the kids would run around and play. We'd have events. And I think as I've hit the middle part of my life, it all seems like a lot of work and effort. And so I'm looking forward to a small house and a small yard.
That is awesome. Me too. All right, Carrie, I'm ready for question number 3.
All right. And we don't know each other's answers, just so you know.
I know. I like this. This is live.
Okay. There's kind of two sides to this coin. What created energy and then what drained energy? So when I say it's two sides, my kids coming home created energy, but they also drained my energy. Or selling our properties, it created energy because I had to get up and do the work with the kids to get... I was in charge of the exterior of the house, a lot of the landscaping, and then doing the remodel stuff and picking out colors and whatever to try to get the house. You did all the real estate stuff. So we did work as a team, but there was a lot of energy created, but it also was a lot of drain because it was just head down working week after week to get stuff off of our books. Just go, go, go. So what about you? What created energy?
So I'm going to do what drained energy first.
Okay.
And what drained energy was shepherding the 3 girls that are at home. So at this point, they would have been sophomores, 8th graders, 6th grader. Like trying to carry them forward in like supporting them, encouraging them, and giving them a vision for why moving here was a good thing. That was a drain. It was a real heavy lift. And I think that's important for parents to know that when you're like trying to help your family move through a big change, like making a move, that it does take a real investment of time and energy and attention and care to say, I'm going to walk with you. I'm going to help try to figure out what you need to be able to say, I understand that it's hard, but I want to point you in a direction that says there's something really good that awaits us. And I need you to trust me.
Yeah, that's a good one. And you had a lot of those conversations. I think what drains energy, it's probably not past tense, is fake media and untruth, misguided or misrepresented stories in media. It really drains me to see the bias. Mm-hmm. That really bothers me. I think the fraud, when I see the amount of fraud out there and the stories being told, that really, like, I really don't like waste. Even in our own home, my kids will tell you, they will have to eat every last crumb on their plate or every last drop of milk in their cup. So to see just the hundreds of billions of dollars, and we are great tax-paying people, and it's like, wow, this is just insane. So that drains me.
That's so funny. I when I was thinking about drains, I tend not to focus a lot on like stuff happening in the world around me.
I know, and I love that.
As a source of a drain, I'm so much more just sort of in my own, like our world, right?
Yeah.
So it's funny because you started saying that and I had another one that was like, oh, this brought me energy. And then I just got dissipated. I lost it.
Oh.
I would say something that brought me energy was I incorporated more spiritual reading. It's called mental prayer, but spiritual reading into my life. And it's something that my morning prayer time has historically, or in like in the recent past, been more quiet prayer, mm-hmm. where I sit quietly and pray, more contemplative. But when life is busier, it's harder to do that spiritual work of sitting contemplatively. So I would follow the guidance of pray the way you can.
Yes.
Don't pray the way you want. Pray the way you can. And I knew what I could do was read good spiritual books. So that was a wonderful source of energy.
That's awesome. What created energy is my worship playlist. When I just, yes, when I feel a little discombobulated, I just put that on when I'm in the car driving somewhere. It really lifts my spirit. Also, I tried to do a book a month, and I was able to do a little bit more than that, but just reading books, even though some of them I had to get the audio, reading books created energy. It was good to not get content just from the phone.
Mm-hmm. Even though when the phone was doing the audio version,
I tried. I'm going to get better at this.
Okay, good.
I'm going to buy the books. Okay, should we move on?
Yeah, sure.
Anything that drained energy? No.
Oh, I did. I have one other one.
Okay.
I have one that drained energy. And this is it's kind of vulnerable to share it, but it was the painful journey of dealing with my dad's estate.
Oh, that is so true.
So my dad died over 2 years ago. And there was the question of the house that he built and that was still in, that was really the asset in the inheritance. And it was such a painful process.
And it wasn't about the money. It was about the relationships and the closing and getting everyone on the same page. And I would come out in the morning, and you have already had a 2 or 3 hour conversation with siblings because there were a couple hours ahead. And I, a couple points, just said, this is not worth it. Let's be done with it. You're getting pulled down into the mud. And like I said, it wasn't about the inheritance. It was trying to get everyone on the same page.
Yeah, it wasn't. It wasn't, right? So it was fairness, and it was what did he really want? And how are we treating each other around the issue of money? Right? Money does weird things to people, right? You hear that all the time. But I want to say that the thing that drained me of energy was the fact that I talked to one of my brothers and one of my sisters in a way that I have just literally never talked to anybody in my entire life. And what I mean that is negatively, like harshly talking to them.
It was trying.
And it was out of total frustration.
Yeah.
But it was still one of those things where I did not know that kind of broken communication lived in me. And it was not my best moment. So I want to say that the Lord used this. This is how he used it. I have been focused quite a bit, and this will come out later, on prayer and penance. Like really praying, fasting, doing penance. And I realized, again, to my, chagrin, just to avoid saying the word shame or embarrassment, that that I have not prayed fervently or done really any penance for my siblings and their families. And I'm like, wait a minute, I love them. I want them to be in heaven. I want them to experience flourishing when they're on earth. I want them to be people of faith. I don't want to look at them and see brokenness or limitations in their family lives and be able to say, oh, I'm glad my family's not like that. No, wait a minute. I have a divine stewardship, a God-established stewardship to be praying for my siblings. And so it was like the aha moment, and I was like, Lord, I am so sorry that I have not been praying for my siblings, their spouses, and their children, several of whom are my godchildren. And so now that everything's all wrapped up, praise you, Jesus, I'm still praying for them every single day, and I'm doing penance for them every single day. And I'm like, wow, for all of the suffering that I went through, that was a gift.
That is a gift. Did you make sure to get me and the kids in there before? Are we, I'm not losing my intercessory
Sorry, honey.
Time.
I don't think, Did I think you the Blessed Mother.
I hope I'm not made.
Yeah, I know. Yeah.
Got kicked out.
Do you think that's the way it works in heaven? That all right, now Tom, with the amount of prayers you're doing, you can only put forward 7 people. Sorry. If you did more prayers, then you could do 17 people.
Yeah.
But that is not how God works. God is so generous to us.
All right, a real delight creates energy. Moving here, the amount of sunlight at night. And then going for, you and I would go for an hour, 2 hour walk, so warm. It was just beautiful and it was flat.
Are you trying to sell us, sell the Treasure Valley and all these folks in Spokane Valley?
I just had no idea how beautiful it would be. And the landscape, the beautiful landscaping all around. And going for a nice long walk in those evenings of the summertime, which I can't wait for those days to return or look forward to 2026 summer. It really was exciting, energizing. I was like, pinch me. I can't believe I'm
Carrie,
here.
I'm going to translate what you just said. You're old.
I know.
No, seriously. I want you to think about
go
it, right?
For a walk.
When I would look at people that would take walks.
It's okay.
And I would say,
I welcome it.
Look at those old people walking, right? Mm. That's all they can do because they can't jog, they can't run, they can't do. So they're walking. That's what they're doing.
I know.
And now we're those people.
We are.
So it's very indicative of a shift in or a transitioning into the next stage of our lives.
Okay. So who or what were your anchors in 2026? Who or what? I can give you one.
Yeah. You go first this time.
This might sound kind of odd. So mine are also practical and yours are also spiritual. That's how we go. That's how we roll. HRT, hormone replacement therapy. So I do estrogen and progesterone. Not a big deal. Menopause. I have this Facebook page that I follow. And there are a couple of Facebook pages I follow that really anchor me because sometimes I feel like I'm losing my mind. Why is my going crazy this time of in this season in life? And it's not just the hot flashes or the night sweats or I'm really tired or brain fog or weight gain, all that stuff. It was just good to get some treatment and feel a little bit normal. So I felt like for a couple of years, I was just kind of plugging along going, what is happening? Why am I feeling this way? So
that links to my life. And I've shared this before on the program, but when I came here and I got a little more space in my life to be able to focus more on how do I live in a healthy lifestyle, I've always just identified it as eating and exercise. And while it's still that, and I've gained more insights into eating and exercise, down here, it's an industry. And the industry incorporates biohacking and other forms of longevity or restorative processes.
I think we should do a show on that next week or next month.
Just like a whole show to dig into it.
Well, just to be aware of all the ways you can biohack. It's pretty phenomenal. And I think there are a lot of opportunities that you're just not aware of unless you've been introduced to them or tried them. And they're so helpful.
Yeah. Well, and biohacking can mean something as simple as, you know, you're using supplements, right? Certain kind of vitamins, or if you're working out, you're using creatine, or you're using some other hormone replace. So you say mm-hmm. HRT, hormone replacement therapy.
Or it can be the red light therapy. So there's also...
Yeah, so that's, you know, I guess you're right. So that would be other forms of biohacking. Yeah, red light therapy, the use of saunas, magnets, cold plunges.
What was that cold treatment you had?
I don't know, some kind of cryo something or other. It made me cry. It did make me cry. So you call it cryo. I think that's why they call
the
it
cold
cryo.
Cold water plunges. Yeah. I don't know. Okay, so I think that helped anchor you in a sense of getting healthy.
Yeah, for sure. Well, and even just to say, I use TRT, testosterone replacement therapy. No idea about the loss of testosterone, how that impacts muscle mass in men over 40, especially over 50, and now at 60. It's like, oh, wow, I better get this checked. So I did. All right, back in a minute. Anchors, Carrie. Do you know anchor is associated with a virtue?
No.
I want you to see if you can guess. I'll give you... It's one of the three theological virtues. The theological virtues are faith, hope, and love. They're also called infused virtues. Which of the three infused virtues would be an anchor? Faith, hope, or love?
I want to say faith.
You got 33% chance.
I know,
right?
I know.
One of three, honey. Come on.
But then hope kind of gets you going, but then love is always the right answer. So I don't know.
That was a great non-answer.
I know.
Just say Jesus. Jesus is the answer, right? It's hope.
Hope. Okay.
Hope is an anchor. And stop and think about that. Like, what does an anchor do? It gives you a sense of safety. It gives you a grounding in the midst of a storm. It gives you the ability to stay rooted when you're likely to float away. So the idea that hope is an anchor is, it's a great sort of like lens through which to say, what anchored me last year? What was it that gave me hope last year?
Great. So we are going over our reminiscing about 2025 and going through some questions to just kind of set you on a trajectory for next year or this year. We're now in this year. And help for how do you scenario play from 2027 backwards? Where do you want to be a year from now? So I think this is a great...
Yeah, so like on, I can say, yeah, it's December 31st, and I'm so grateful I wrote 6 books this year.
Yes.
Do you like that?
I'm so excited.
And now I can go back and I can say, okay, well, wait a minute. When does book 1 have to be done? When does book 2 have to be done? When does book 3 have to... And it all of a sudden makes it super clear, what do I have to do to be able to get those 6 books done?
Well, and I think I'm at a stage in my life where I just have a lot more time. And it's a hard stage because I feel more accountable to myself, which is not a great accountability partner. And yet I want to be able to look back and say, yes, God, we did this. We accomplished this. And be proud of how time was spent. And I think it's easier today in our culture and in the kind of retirement stage to just waste time and to have it kind of dissipate and not really look at something and say...
Yeah, not be intentional.
Yeah, I'm really proud of this.
Or just use it for entertainment purposes, yeah. Right? Actually, I'm going to speak into your life and say an anchor for you was your women's faith group, because that's going to lead us to the like what's happening now. But wasn't your women's group? You better say yes.
Yes, it was a great anchor. I think it slowly disappeared because we were so busy prepping houses and getting packed and moving a house. It was a ton of work. I will not underestimate how we got through all of that. And so a lot of it just felt like a blur, I hate to say. But yes, the women that I was in a Bible study with was a great source of strength. I think an anchor this year that was stronger than typical was you. And I know you're probably surprised to hear that.
Yeah, like what?
I know, but I can tell you from you walking the Camino and then the fasting and then I'm going to get healthy and then this is a new stage in our life and I really feel called to let go of all of this real estate and focus on the mission God has for us has really helped me. I've just kind of hung on to your conversations and words and formation. And you've really helped me reset what the next stage in our life will look like. And I don't think I would have done a lot of that without you having been brought through several of those conversations with either professionals or through podcasts. So,
but yes. Through you. I mean, it's all your fault.
Or through me.
Well, no, it was you. It was your gentle complaint that year and a half ago, no, this would have been... 2 years ago. Was it 2 years ago? Yeah, it was 2 years ago. It was around now, maybe in February, where you said, we have not gone away as a couple.
Oh, yes.
In 25 years of having kids, and we're going to be 30 years married, and we've just poured our lives out for all of our kids, and we haven't stopped to focus on, wait a minute, what was that all about? What are we doing right now? What's at stake? And how should we move forward? And it was Memorial Day week. There was that Monday of Memorial Day and then those days after where we got in the car and we drove down to Boise.
Yes.
And we had a house here for a few days for a big whiteboards. Mm-hmm. But it was that dang podcast that we listened to. 10X is easier than 2X. You said, listen to this. And I was so grumbly.
And I had no idea.
You had no idea what that was going to lead to.
Took it to another level. Any more anchors?
excuse me. I would say for last year, it would be, I'm actually really fascinated to talk about both the idea of being intentional about like the stages of life that you face in your marriage, as well as the idea of community, because that was a big reason that we sensed this is what the Lord has for us here or what we want.
Yeah.
So.
Yeah. So I think there is this replanting. My word for the year is regenerate. And my sister was visiting and she said, oh, she's a big gardener. She said, oh, I do that with seeds. I grow them over and over and plant them. And I never thought of it in that respect or regards. One other anchor, our older kids. Those kids, well, when Mary Catherine came to stay with us, She really helped with the girls and mentoring them and growing them in faith and helping me in the kitchen. And she's a great organizer and an amazing cleaner. And I just was so blessed as an older daughter to have her here. And then our other older daughters, not my sons. No, I've had some great conversations with them, but I'm surprised how much I lean on them when they come home for the holidays or to visit, and just having conversations, getting kind of feedback from them about our last three here at the house. And then also they see the world through such a different perspective, being younger and kind of way more invested in the culture because of where how they're living. They have a lot more time. And I'm really excited to have our older kids, as they all continue to grow older, become more of an anchor to us, which sounds odd. I would never have thought that to be an anchor, but I was so grateful for the ways in which I'm able to lean on them.
Yeah, that's interesting. I would almost, I wasn't thinking of it as an anchor so much, but I've certainly enjoyed being able to have like an adult conversation. Like one of my delights is that our oldest daughter has like been open to receive these most impactful books in my life, and that she has received them, read them, and she's sharing them with others now because it's also impacted her.
That is so cool. And I think they're anchors to me because they're girls. So it's the kitchen, it's shopping, it's style.
Yeah.
It's travel.
That's so funny.
I feel much more in the sense of
The time is slipping away when I can turn my boys into men. And it's like, okay, I got a long list of things I want to kind of forge in them and chisel away and help them grow into. But it's like the window is shrinking because they're only here for short periods of time. And it's like they've already moved out in some ways. That coming home during school break, it's like, oh my goodness.
Yeah.
So, all right, next question.
Okay, we have three more. What did I not do because of fear?
Oh, let me tell you what you didn't do.
I can tell you a lot of things I did not do. Do you have any that you...
Let me see.
I did not want to go on the Camino with you. I still don't want to go on the Camino with you.
You know, that was 2 years ago.
I know, but you're still trying to like get me to go on a Camino. And I said to you...
I don't know if you said to me what the sadness was, but that was going to be one of my sadnesses that I didn't go on the Camino. But go ahead.
Then our kids were in Europe and I did not want to go there. I just had this huge blockage. I think it's because we moved here. Things felt so unsettled. I did not know my space yet and I could not go travel somewhere yet. I just not made that way to go. But not going to see them in Austria and not doing that with you is kind of something I did not do because of fear. I just couldn't go push past.
So fear doesn't impact me like that. Like I don't have a lot of fear about like outward things. Mm-hmm. It would be more was I afraid to let go of whether it was the real estate work or the consulting work to be a means of providing for my family financially and trusting that the Lord was going to take care of us.
That was a big fear move. I mean, that was a big entrustment.
Yeah.
For sure.
And that was the interesting thing. It's like that, I have faced that and been confronted with that really through almost all of our married life. And I have very distinct memories in like the early 2000s when we first moved into our second home, where there was a sense of saying, Lord, I have to do more consulting work because you can't take care of me financially through the ministry alone. And I would say that sentence out loud. And I would say, how impoverished are you, Tom, in your faith that you're not willing to trust the Lord that he can actually take care of you without you doing all of this other consulting work? And I had to always wrestle with that. Is it in fact a failure to trust, or was the Lord saying, no, I've equipped you to be able to provide for you through the consulting work so that you could in fact continue to do ministry without that much stress and pressure?
I think when we took that trip here a year and a half ago or however long ago, that gave you just a little bit more space and time to reflect on where are we headed and where do I want to head. I think in the midst of you providing for us, you were so busy, head down, work, but also present, that you kind of just lose your way or you get a little discomfort. I don't know.
So it's so fascinating because I talked with Father Pat Smith, and when I told him about after our interview, we were talking about, well, what's been going on with your life? And he was struck by some of the things that I had said during the interview. And I was like, well, that came from the Camino. And I had felt I felt like I was supposed to call him when I was on the Camino, and I did. And he didn't pick up, but he texted me back. And so as a result of that conversation we had after the interview, he's like, I need to go on the Camino.
That's awesome.
And the phrase was gracious disruption. He said, I feel like I'm on the conveyor belt of life, just rushing around as a priest, just doing stuff. And it was like, no, wait a minute. You need to have a gracious disruption.
I think I could do the Camino with 20 people.
With 20 people?
Yeah, not just you. What would I talk about after the second hour?
I would be off on my own. Okay, I'm leaving at 5 in the morning. Off I go. No one come with me. If you're going to come with me, 3 hours of quiet. I'm praying my rosary.
I kind of want it to be a retreat, like a big, fat retreat with 20 or so people. That'd be so cool.
And is there like a bus from stage to stage?
If need be.
Whatever the Lord has.
A masseuse at the end of the day.
If that's the way for you, then follow the way. I'm telling you, 2026, I'm already looking at the end of it saying, I'm so grateful for the Camino I walked on. There it is. I'm saying it out loud. You know what they say at interviews after like big sporting events, like where somebody lost, you know, they lost the game and they're there and they've got a requirement to do the interview. Next question.
Oh.
Next question. All right. So what am I saying to you, Carrie?
Hey, what were your greatest hits of 2025?
My greatest hits.
Now, this is different than highlights. So I think highlights would be just big things that happened, which I didn't think of it that way. But what were your greatest hits? Things that, this was good.
Well, I had mentioned earlier in the program that there was that 21-day water fast. Here's the thing about fasting, and it's something that, I mean, I'm saying this out loud. I'm saying it not because I'm certainly not trying to brag about like fasting because you keep your work secret. I share it because of the fundamental conviction I have that it takes an extraordinary effort to live an ordinary life of faith, especially if you want to hand that faith on to your kids. And that means no half measures. So this water fast was really about disrupting how I was eating. And doing so on a spiritual basis. And so I would say that, I've done that now twice, but I've failed at it four different times. So I've failed at these 21-day water fasts twice as much as I've succeeded. And it really points to my mind. It points me to the reality that this is a call and a gift. It's a call and a grace. It's not a human effort. It's not Hercules. It's not Iron Man, Strong Man. No, it's a gift from the Lord, and you can ask for the gift. You can pray for the gift. So I toss that out to you folks because I'm going to be launching into another one when Lent gets here. And so I'm getting excited about it, but I'm praying for that grace. I'm praying for the grace.
That's awesome. I wish mine were so spiritual, but they're just so not. My greatest hit is the house remodel. And I think I mentioned that as a highlight. I was really proud of how the work turned out. We got stuck in kind of doing it. But just the extent to which it went and what was required. Now, I did not actually do the work. I helped pack up a whole house, but...
No, but you did a ton to help, like, make sure it was going to be designed correctly and what to say yes to, what to say no to.
Yeah, I did pick out... I picked
styles,
out things.
Everything. More than that.
I just thought that Aaron did an amazing job. And when it was all said and done, I'm just so glad that we had the flood and we were able to do that. It would have been really hard to get out of that
so
house.
Two funny things about that. The first is that God will turn what is a disaster in your mind into a great thing in your yes. life. And the second is, what was like one of the very first things we said once we got everything back in there?
Why didn't we do this years ago?
And
we've done that like three.
We could have enjoyed it.
I know. We've done that three times. Three times we've moved and we had to get the house ready. And we thought, why did we wait so long to fix the yard or paint the house?
What a beautiful house to live in. Oh, and as we're leaving. And it's like, kids, don't touch anything. Don't get anything dirty.
Do you have another greatest hit?
I would say that.
I think getting in shape is a huge hit for you. I think that's been amazing. The weight loss, the working out, the focus on health. I just love seeing your effort and your determination and your just joy, peace around all of that. It's been great.
Wow. I guess that's a hit.
Can you be my hit?
Yeah.
You're my greatest hit. I think another hit for me was, again, the properties. Just working to get all of those ready. You cannot imagine how happy I am that we do not have the weight of these investments. Now, I know people say go into real estate and have rentals. It is so much more work than you can imagine. And getting out is way harder than, you know, getting in. It's not a bad thing for certain people, but I just 100% just put your money in the stock market.
Not financial advice. This is for financial entertainment.
Just be fully aware of what you're getting into when you own a property and want to oversee all that's involved in it. It's just a lot.
So I'm going to say my hit then is that I am so grateful to God that I have been given the opportunity to have my life be that much more focused on the reality of heaven and striving to make that present on earth. That has shown up more intentionally and intensively in my life, day to day. Whether it's going to Mass, whether it's praying, whether it is focused on the reality of writing books or talking with people, seeking fellowship, and doing penance, right? All that stuff, I'm definitely becoming more heavenly minded.
I think that leads right into our question of my greatest miss. What were your greatest misses? I'm sitting from the couch or the bed watching you go to daily Mass and working out and getting healthy. And I don't know what it is. I feel like I am on pause. I have this huge reluctance and I'm just not sure. Now, even though I mentioned earlier I'm doing this hormone therapy, I still am trying to figure out what is my stage in life right now. So I'm hoping that will be something that comes to fruition or to light. I think having to leave the Spokane area was a hard decision. It was hard to say goodbye to all those friends. We had some great friends. I had a Bible group, book club group. We prayed together. We shared our lives together in a real intimate way. We went through a lot of trauma or shared about our trauma from when we left Seattle. So we were the refugees in that area. And I don't want to say it was a miss that we moved here, of course. But I just miss that connection. And so now trying to rebuild that here is definitely something that I'm putting a lot of effort and thought into and work into.
So I would say that a miss that I've had is that I have not, like I have, like it's around writing books, that I haven't gotten more done, right? So I have like a big chunk of my first book done, but it's not nearly as far as I thought it would be at this point. So the vision versus the current reality, I thought I would be closer to a realization of at least my first book.
Me too.
Hey, we're in agreement, dear. This is so good. I'm
just kidding.
I would say this, that it's taking me longer to get stuff done that were things that I wanted to clear the decks mm-hmm. in order to make more space for writing. And I think I have to just wake up to the fact that if you wait till your decks are fully clear before you start, you're never going to start. So you have to make a decision to put what is a priority, or you're saying it's important, you just have to do it.
Yeah, I think a lot of those writers have coaches, or they have their publishers, or somebody who's always on them, because it is a chore. It is a real labor.
Yeah, but I hate to pay someone to say, are you writing a
book? I'll do it for
book?
Free. I could do it for free.
No. I need, honey, I need you with pom-poms. Okay, I need.
We got this, honey.
I need the cheerleader wife. That's what I need. I don't need the arms akimbo folded across your chest, looking at me,
cold.
Shaking your head, saying, when are you going to start writing? And but I need, it's so funny. It's like, there are a bunch of coaches out there that would love to have me pay the money to do that. But just being honest, so.
Great. Well, that's it. Those are the questions.
Oh, wow. Nice. So as we're taking a look at 2026, one of the things that is showing up in our lives is community. It's something that you've been praying for. I don't know if it's that like you need it more than I do, but I know that it's something that you've said quite a bit since we've moved here,
I love community because you show up differently in a group. You show up differently when we're with another couple, as do I. And I think all couples, you forget that side of them because you're just together, the two of you. So it's so important to have our gifting show up differently in a bigger group or in a smaller, bigger group, whatever. I just don't think you can grow to your full potential just with a couple of people.
Well, and that happens through like going to events. Like we host a lot of events or are related to school and the kids' sports teams and classes, stuff like that. But I'm talking about fellowship. Right. Well, and so like you're part of Encounter and now you also go into a Bible study. I'm doing a couple of days ago, I went to two men's groups in the same night. And what is so funny about that was that I went to a men's group of Catholic guys. I got invited. It was so funny. I got invited on the same day for the first time to two different men's groups that were happening the same night.
I think
what are the odds of that?
Well, I think a lot of things are starting up. It's January and groups are starting up. Or like we just started a new book. I'm starting a book club next week.
No, these groups have been around.
Okay.
I just wasn't invited. So, but we've made enough connections now where I finally got the invite. I'm on the in.
Okay. Well, we'll see.
So I showed up at the Catholic group and their topic of discussion was a podcast from a Christian group that was hosting a historian talking about Islam.
Oh, that's so interesting.
And then I went to the Christian group that was connected to our classical Christian school, and they were discussing Rerum Novarum, a papal encyclical by Pope Leo XIII, Leo XIII.
Crazy.
And so here I am, wait a minute, I'm in the Catholic group listening to a Christian podcast talking about Islam, and I go to the Christian group and we're talking about a papal encyclical. I thought that was so ironic. And it was so fascinating, right? There was some differences and some similarities.
Did that stir in you a desire to grow, to read, to pray?
Honestly, it was a bit humbling because in both groups, there were people who were so articulate, well-read, thoughtful, and intentional. Like in the Islam group, the Catholic group, there were these guys that, oh yeah, I read this book about the history of Islam, and I read this book about this refugee of Islam, and this other one about the conversion from Islam. And I'm looking around at these guys thinking, dang, this is impressive. They were articulate, intelligent, thoughtful, considered. They weren't extreme. It's really cool.
That's awesome.
And then in the other group, these guys were like, Rerum Novarum, how do we apply these principles to our life and work? And you have a lot of business owners here. And so they're talking about how they hire and how they try to create a living wage and the challenges of doing that today and the challenges of finding young people who are willing to work. It was so fascinating. And so, I don't know, Carrie, I used up a lot of our time. You got about 40 seconds left. You could talk about your...
Oh, my groups? Oh, I could talk about another time. I'm just glad that I love a reset. I love the beginning of a new year. It just feels fresh. And I'm excited to enter into this year.
Well, my hope is that, Carrie, you and I are talking about these things. Hopefully, these are questions that can prime the pump for you folks, for couples. And you can do this, right? You're empty nesters or whatever age and stage you're in, to stop and think about what was last year all about? What went well? What would I do differently? And then do the same thing for this year. So I hope our conversation was sparking something interesting in you, maybe inspiring and encouraging. There you go. God bless you. Join me on Monday for more Sound Insight.